Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Divine Goddess Radio. We are your hosts, Marie Langley.
And Beth Jacobson.
And thank you for joining us this evening. We created the show as a venue to discuss the many facets of healing, shifting, and spirituality.
And you can now listen to Marie and Beth two times a week, Tuesdays from 7 to 8 Central Standard Time, and Friday from 3 to 4 p.m. We also have a blog talk page that we do little chitty chats. You can go to divinegoddessradio.wordpress.com. We also have a fan page, Divine Goddess Radio. We'd appreciate and love if you came and liked our page. And once a month, we choose a, we like a person or a person who likes our page. We go in and choose for a half-hour free reading.
And that's on Facebook.
Oh, I'm sorry. What did I say?
Fan page.
Oh, I'm sorry. Fan page on Facebook, isn't it?
Yes.
On Facebook. Excuse me. And if you have any questions, comments, you know, any positive feedback, any forms of enlightenment, or any suggestions, please email Marie or Beth at divinegoddessradio@gmail.com. Marie and I also do goddess parties. We also come into your home and teach classes. We also travel. We leave the state. We also travel around the state. Again, you can get a hold of us on our divinegoddessradio@gmail.com. If you want to schedule an appointment individually with Marie, you can reach her at 651-303-0555 or Beth Jacobson at 651-900-4136. So welcome, everybody, to Tempting Tuesday.
Welcome. So tonight's show, we have a very interesting topic. You know, I know that there's, I've read a lot of discussions going back and forth about, corn syrup. God, duh. And so we have with us tonight Peace Warden, and she's going to be talking about how corn syrup affects our body, our mind, and our womanhood. So welcome, Peace.
Hi, Peace.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm excited. I'm really grateful to the universe for bringing us together. You know, nothing happens outside of the realm of infinite possibility. And for this to happen, for us to come together like this, is the highest of heights. The vibe can't get any better than this.
That's right. That's right. Do you want to talk a little bit about yourself and who are you? What do you do?
Who am I? Wow. You know, it's really interesting because if you go through enough transformations, that question can get a little daunting because you think about who you once were and you have to say, no, I'm not her anymore. And you go to another page and you go, well, no, I'm not her either.
Exactly.
Well, all I can say is I am a human being that came in the form of a woman, in the form of a woman in color, and I came to live on purpose to be a healer and to be of service to all humankind.
Oh, I like that.
That's
answer.
Nice.
That is a nice answer. Mm-hmm. So what do you do?
What, now in this present reincarnation?
That's right. What do you do in this present reincarnation?
I am in the middle of putting together recipes to restart my organic handmade soap business.
Oh, nice.
I'm talking with you guys tonight, which is really important to me. I work for GNC, and it's a very interesting relationship. They have one way of looking at the reality of supplements, and I have another way of looking at it. So my way is very profitable to them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's really interesting being there because the same way I'm talking to you right now, and it's a comfortable, open exchange of energy, is the same way I talk to the people, the customers. So they are real present to that instant rapport and relationship that I try to build with everyone that come to me. And it's difficult for them because they don't know that way of being open and loving and kind
mm-hmm.
to all beings that come into your circle of influence. So I love what I do there. I'm able to be on purpose and really talk about health in a very effective way. Hopefully I can give out some of the same things that I do there, here, right now, for women to understand with critical judgment and really looking into what I'm saying, how they really need to be up on what's going on in their food and how they're dealing with food and how it's affecting their womb and their mind and their emotions. So.
Yes, exactly. You know, one of the things that you do, you're an herbalist. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Because there are people out there who don't know or understand. Yes.
Okay. Unlike Dr. Oz and other people like that, I actually went out into the wild. And that type of learning is called wildcrafting. And you actually have to know by sight what the herb is, if it's safe, if it's at a good time to be harvested, and what its effects are if you're using it green right out of the ground, or differently if you dry it, if you're going to use it as a tincture, which is an alcohol-based product. And you learn all these different methods of dealing with different herbs and how to combine different herbs. And I was blessed to live in Jamaica for 7 years, and 5 of those years I got trained by 4 different master herbalists who taught me quite a bit.
Wow. Wow. Interesting. That is interesting. I have friends who are moving to Peru and into a little town up in the mountains, and they were showing me this property they're going to rent, and the garden is full of different plants, and they were telling me that the local person was saying, okay, now this plant is for this, this plant is for this, this plant is for this, so they don't have to buy any traditional medicine. Everything's right there in their garden.
Yes, a really a smart woman. That's on her game in terms of her health and her family's health, her community's health, will have certain things growing around her house by ritual, because that's what we did as women. That was our task. That was our purpose when we came on earth, that we were the healers and we were the ones that were given the sacred herbs to take care of, to bring forth into the community. One of the more sacred herbs that most people are very intensely trying to destroy every spring is the dandelion. It will only grow around humans. It won't grow anywhere in the wild.
I would not let my son destroy the dandelions this year.
What are dandelions good for? Because I'm telling you, I'm so drawn to them.
One of the best things that it'll do, it'll cleanse your blood, it's a perfect detox for your liver, your kidneys, and your blood. Mix that with the combination of cardiarco, burdock root, and for a woman, red raspberry, and for a guy, I would put in some damnia, and they'll get a good result.
Now, would you mix that with water and drink it?
Yeah, it's not a fast boil. It's boil the water and steep the herbs in the water and then strain it off. And you can take that. That's a positive energy product. So it's going to be a 7-day, because 7 days is a positive full number.
Mm. Wow. I love it. Do you teach classes on this?
Yes.
Cool.
That is cool.
I'm fascinated by herbs. It's my time to start learning about it.
Well, it's a lot of different ways you can learn about herbs. There's the medicinal method. Then there is the spiritual method, learning the spiritual value of herbs and how to apply them. Then there's the magical value of herbs and making love potions and safe passage potions and protection and all kinds of things. So each herb requires a different knowledge of what it does and how it's looked at. Everybody's not looked at the same.
Wow. I'm going, my Lord, we could sit here and talk about the medicinal. What's the spiritual one? That's, you know, what would you do with it spiritually?
Okay. Say we were in a room together and we got to talking and saying we really wanted to break out of the mold that we were in, or we didn't feel like we were moving fast enough in our individual goals. So we would do a spiritual wash with particular herbs that spoke to those goals.
Oh.
And then we would take and build a fire and burn them and say a sacred prayer that, you know, it was received. We did everything that we could do. We washed, we purified, we aligned our mind in one intention, and now we're sending this sacred aroma of these herbs back up into heaven or to the universe.
That is interesting, because that actually, believe it or not, was a conversation that I had earlier with a friend of mine about doing a little ceremony and having a fire and putting some herbs in to release up to the heaven as a closure ceremony.
It tells you very specifically what to use, when to use, and why you're using it. It's not anything just thrown willy-nilly together. You know, this is very scientific in a matter of speaking. Nothing is by chance. Everything is very precise. You know, I can't just, like, if you told me something was going on in your body, as an herbalist, there's a very precise way I have to talk to you. I just can't go, I mean, everything you say tells me a specific action that I can or cannot do. I'm limited by your words. I can't go beyond what you tell me is the problem.
Okay.
Get it.
And then you were saying something about the magical property of it. I mean, I get it, but there's going to be listeners out there who are...
Well, you know some of the magical herbs already, but you don't really go back and attract them to the way women did business to attract men. One that's very popular is the mistletoe.
Yes.
And if you get caught under the mistletoe, you kiss your future husband or wife. Well, that's considered a magical herb to attract that kind of energy.
Okay.
You know, as you're talking about magical and the potions and stuff, I literally am transported back to one of my, I know it's one of my lives back in the Henry VIII period, because they used a lot of those little magic poultices or herb poultices to do a lot.
Yeah, they had it in a ring or on a chain around the women's waist, or the men had it looking like a little snuff box on a chain hanging off his clothes.
Yeah. Cool. Interesting how spirit kind of brought that into
the conversation. Well, you know, one of the things that I found that really, really led me like little seeds on the ground, I would read historical romances going back into the Scottish or the Irish or whatever, French or whatever era. I mean, you know, and here there would be blatant herbal recipes or herbal treatments.
You're right.
And book after book after book, and it just one day I said, well, I guess somebody's trying to tell me something. That's how it all started, from just getting this repeated bong over my head with herbal things and books that had nothing to do with anything except being a historical romance.
Wow.
Oh.
That is interesting.
That is interesting, yeah.
Very interesting.
Huh. Well, I think we may have to do another show on that.
I know, I'm just like going, man, I can listen to her for quite some time.
But I think today, I know you said spirit moved you to talk about the high fructose corn syrup. And
yes,
I know there's
okay. You gotta okay. High fructose corn syrup is a misnomer. It really sounds very benign, and it doesn't sound like it has much potential to hurt anyone or do anything. But when you break down the composition of what is actually in it and what how it came to be high fructose corn syrup, then you can get really upset and scared because the products that went into making it aren't very good for humans. Especially women. Now, when they made this thing called high fructose corn syrup, they needed to find a quick and efficient sugar substitute to foster on to the American public because they could no longer feed them the corn. So when they decided that they could come up with a corn sugar that was 28 times stronger than regular table sugar, that also had an addicting quality to it because the way it was configured to match up with the brain, they saw a winner all around. So most of the demographics that they targeted this to was Kellogg's, McDonald's, KFC, Pepsi-Cola, all of these individuals use huge amounts of sugar. And they are always looking for ways to reduce their costs but keep the amount of the volume at the same of product that they have to make their products with. So when they were introduced to this very cheap sugar substitute called high fructose corn syrup, it passed the FDA because molecularly, you know, the molecules of it looked somewhat similar to sugar, but no one also looked at the sister template that if you look at crack cocaine, they look just alike.
Wow. Really?
Wow.
Yeah, really.
Did you hear that, folks? Oof, duh. And it's
so
in everything.
Now you, so now you've been drinking your little Pepsi or your little naked juice or your little whatever that's under the Pepsi-Cola banner, thinking that you're getting something healthy, but if you look on the ingredient label and you see high fructose corn syrup, you're in serious trouble because now you can't stop drinking it even if you wanted to.
Really? Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that's why
I feel
so
like
curious.
I did something great because I quit drinking pop, I don't know, years ago.
Yes.
Yeah, but it wasn't what you're getting now. Not
no,
what
you're
the
right,
children
because
and the young women are exposed to now. You could do it years ago. But now with the products that they're developing, it would be very difficult for you to do it. So now you have young girls and boys between the ages of 9 and we're going to say 14 that have early breast development, large abdomens, and a lot of adipose tissue on their thighs. And if you looked at the pattern of what their parents bought them, you would find that they got almost 100 pounds of sugar since they were born, getting it through the high fructose corn syrup.
Good gravy. Wow. That stuff is in everything. Everything.
Yeah, it's in everything. So if you're a poor family or a family on food stamps or any other qualifier to help you out, SNAP, EBT, when you go into these stores, you're going to see certain quality of foods, like in Walmart. They don't like me in Walmart. just in case of wondering minds want to know. And McDonald's threatened me.
Oh, geez. Wow.
I mean, please cease and desist. But I can say that what I stated to them, they knew I meant I was going to follow up on it. I'm not going to repeat it. It might be children listening. And there's no more McDonald's in Jamaica.
Really? Oh, good for you.
So you got to be serious with this thing. You just can't come and talk like we're talking now. You got to really put your life on the line if it's called for, because that might be it. Five generations in the future, we may be the only ones that can cause them to live by our actions.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, this is real talk now. This is big woman talk.
Yeah.
And we got to understand that if we came as healers and we came as seers and we came as knowers, that we really have to be on the ground. We got to be really living the life of light that people can trust coming to us and know that we're going to give them what they need to get through these dark days coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really important. But yes. Coming back to high fructose corn syrup, if you're a young woman between the ages of 16 and 21, I'm not going to go any higher because it'll frighten you. You're going to start out with really painful, bloody periods. And that's because your womb is just rottening out from all the high fructose corn syrup that your body's taking in, because now your immune system is constantly depressed.
Wow. She said age 16 to 21.
It doesn't matter. She's just saying that age, not to scare anybody else.
Okay. That's when you see it hit the most severely. Then you'll notice that these women are having a really hard time with mood swings, anger issues, a lot of drug and alcohol abuse go on because of this as well, so that's more sugar going in on the fire. So now they're obese, weighing more than 225 pounds. Maybe have one child or two, and the children are being diagnosed ADD or autistic. Oh, yeah, man. You got to get the big picture.
Wow.
How this thing really plays out. So now you've eaten the chicken, and you fed your babies the chicken, and the chicken was fed the corn that was made just like the high fructose corn syrup. Are you getting the picture?
Yeah.
That they tested breast milk of women, and they found the major substance that's in the corn is Roundup, which is made by Monsanto, and most breast milk has it in it.
Mm. Wow. Wow.
You know, I could sit here and condemn and blame and point finger, and that's just such a waste of good energy.
Yes, I
would prefer that we asked every woman that was listening to this to really, really look at what's on every label that's in her kitchen and see to her mind, do I want me to eat this? Do I want my daughter to eat this? Do I want my mother to eat this? Do I want my sister to eat this? And start really getting informed about what you're going into the grocery store, buying, and bringing back into your home and killing your family from it.
Wow. Makes you pause and think, because now it's like, okay, what is in my kitchen?
It really does. And it's the most serious thing that I do. Like I said, I feel blessed and I feel honored to be working at GNC because I get to teach people that truth every day to come in there. No, we can't go no place until we look at the label. Do you understand what this label says?
Huh.
Okay.
Oh, my God, I need somebody to do that with me.
Is there, you know, since let me ask you a question because you work at GNC. Is there a supplement that you can take that would counter the effect of that?
The whole thing that I tell people, the best thing to counteract having your blood sugar getting thrown into disarray, which messes up your immune system. The minute you have too much sugar in your body, your immune system goes crazy.
Yeah.
Then you start spilling insulin, and then they want to tell you you're a diabetic, and
right.
You know how the story goes.
Yep.
Diabetes is the highest rated, fastest rising disease in America.
Yes, it is.
So, there's a nice herb called bitter melon. You can research it.
Bitter melon, okay.
And it will take all the effects of sugar out of your body, the combination of the dandelion, the bitter melon, will give you a really nice result. And what's so nice about these two herbs, bitter melon you can get at a good market. It looks like a pimply cucumber.
Yeah, that's called Corella in India.
And just get some dandelion and put it in, make an infusion in the sun, and you got your tea and drink off that, and you'll see a big difference.
Wow.
See, that's one of the things I tell individuals, and they get really offended. I said, if you spend a lot of money on doing something, that means it was effective cure, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, what do you mean? I said, it shouldn't cost you anything except common sense to figure out how to get yourself better. Everything is in front of you. Everything is free, literally. I mean, at one point in time, if you knew how to walk in the woods, you didn't have no problem. And even here where I'm at, I see a lot of herbs that I'm a little iffy because they spray everything. I mean, everything
yeah,
has
yeah.
got a pesticide or an herbicide with its name attached to it. Oh, it looks like a weed. Spray it. Mm, dead. So...
How long would you have to use the bitter melon for to remedy and balance out the fructose that you have in your system? Is that a 7-day thing, or would you have to take it for a month? What would you be your...
Well, I tell if anyone comes to me on a consult, they don't like me from door. I make it very plain and very clear. Anything that's white in your kitchen got to come out. White flour, white sugar.
Yeah,
pasta,
that, yeah.
bread, and they you know, they don't love to give up their sin. Their sin is what makes them feel good. So, and don't mention ice cream. Oh my God, you've killed them.
Well,
so,
ice cream for me is a treat every once in a while. It's not an ongoing
thing. Okay, who fell under the store? Somebody did. They're laughing.
right here. Oh my God! I love gelato, and I love ice cream. I absolutely love it. But it's like, oh my Lord! And I know I need to give it up.
Okay, just holler meal call for as you throw it in the garbage can.
It's a good thing I don't have anything in my fridge right, my freezer right now.
Oh, okay. Keep it that way. Now, but
yeah.
Differently, after you get rid of everything that's white in your kitchen,
okay,
you want to get real present on what parts of your body has been just giving you problem for a long time, be it acid reflux, be it a gassy belly, be it headaches, be it skin breakouts, be it just feeling annoyed and out of sorts for no reason. All of these things could be a big indicator that you need to detox.
Oh, I know I need to detox big time.
Right. So you want to do a full body detox. You want to clean your liver. You want to clean your kidney, your blood, your bowels, your womb. Okay. You want to clean
and
your lymph.
And that bitter melon would do this? Would the bitter melon do this?
No, the bitter melon is only dealing with the content of how much sugar is in your blood. The dandelion is only dealing with the aspect of how many free radicals are running around in your blood and need to come out. Milk thistle cleans out the interstitial bodies of your liver and your kidneys. There's a whole group of specific cleansing herbs. You just don't pick any old herb and say, okay, I'm going to use this, because each one builds on the other and complement the full working of the product after you make it. So it's not like you get a pill and you get to take it and the pill does the work. No, once you get an understanding of preparation and how to prepare the herbs to make your tonic for yourself, then you start understanding and respecting how your body and these herbs work together to keep you healthy.
Hmm. Wow. I hear my body going, yes.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I'm from India. So when I go to the Indian store, I see the, it's called Karela in India, the bitter melon.
Yes.
But it's not the best tasting thing. You know, and they sell Karela juice. You know, they sell it juiced already. But it's not very good tasting. That's the only thing.
I didn't ask you to like it. I just said to take it. What's going on?
Hold your nose and just suck it down, right?
Well, see, one of the things that we don't understand as women, because we become so invested in a way of thinking that we forgot how to take care of our goddess self and be with the lunar moon and doing all those things that would invest our creative self, because we only act like we have our brain and not our womb and our brain as our creative centers. And our womb is constantly talking, but because we like to listen to our mind chatter so much, we never pay attention to what she's saying to us. And if we just reconnected and did was present with certain behaviors around our womb that we could hear her, then our life would get a lot more creative and we would be on track and not be always feeling that we have to meet someone else's goals or someone else's standards. I know everyone says that, but when you really start tuning into your womb, even if you don't have a menstrual cycle anymore, there's an aspect of your nature that's hidden there that you don't even know. You've never saw her. You never looked at her because it's always been a disconnect. Your womb was always causing you problem. Either it was bringing blood or it was bringing baby or it was bringing a man didn't know how to satisfy you. So it was always something that you and womb wasn't having a good talk with each other. So once you start learning how to talk and how to listen, you'll have such a healthier way of being as a woman. You won't be hidden. And, you know, it's really interesting when you read or listen to anyone from the psychiatric train of thought talking about women healthy issues or women mind issues or women spirit issues. They never, ever talk about the womb. In relationship.
That's true. Yeah, that's very true.
You know, of keeping yourself healthy, that this was a dynamic part of you. It's not a side issue that this comes up on you every 30 days. It's with you all the time. Mm-hmm. And we don't talk about that. And when you talk about high fructose corn syrup, this is something that may alter the way the womb creates life. And no one is being offended by this or upset or saying anything about it. And I'm here speaking for the children yet to be born, that they have a right to be not ADD and not be OCD and not be artistic or retarded or a lot of other things that are creeping up into the vocabulary to describe children these days.
Yes. Autism seems to be all of a sudden so prevalent.
Well, no one has looked at the food relationship.
Yes.
Yeah, no, they usually attribute it to vaccine.
No, the scapegoat is the one that you can see sticking up over the ground, you know. But if you really look into the diets of these young women and what they drink and eat a lot of, you'll find they have a lot more predisposing factors that was going on with their menstrual cycle even before they got pregnant.
You know, that I can see that because I know someone who has 3 children and 2 are autistic, but looking back at her and her habits, I can absolutely agree with that, how she used to eat and drink and Mountain Dew this and Pepsi this and constant Mountain Dew, you know.
Yeah, man. It's just, it's one of the most important things that I feel strong about, that I talk about it in a way that I want to be perceived as non-threatening and not engaging in a right and wrong discussion and pointing fingers. I want to engage in a discussion where you can leave this conversation and go to all your women friends and the young women in your family circle and have a real discussion and be saying some things that would make them pay attention, not just be in contention telling them how wrong they are for what they're doing, but giving them some real information to help themselves.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, I've seen the discussion between high fructose corn syrup and sugar. You know, obviously the manufacturers claim it to be natural because it comes from corn. And then you have the sugar producer saying, no, sugar is natural. So what do you feel about the sugar versus high fructose corn syrup?
Right now, because none of it is what it was, none of us should eat any of it unless you draw. If you've got access to grow your own stevia plant,
uh-huh.
That's the only way. If you don't get your own and you know you planted it and know where it came from,
yeah.
I wouldn't buy anybody else's.
Really?
What about raw brown sugar?
It's like when people ask me about bread. Well, it was brown bread. I said, I don't care if it was a pink bread, a purple bread, a green bread, a yellow bread. The whole deal is no sugar.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. It acts on, because of the way, I'm going to give you a little sidebar for you to really understand how serious this is. Because sugar mimics the same addictive processes that are in crack cocaine, heroin, in the brain, it mimics the same addicting effects. And because so many people live under an extreme amount of stress, they build up a chemical on their brain called cortisol, which interferes with them doing a hormone called leptin that helps you process fat stores and not gain weight. When you don't have the right amount of chemical balance in your brain because you now have too much cortisol, it turns off the leptin production and now you're grossly obese and there's nothing you can do about it.
Oh, yeah, because I know cortisol, a high amount is, you know, that's the belly fat.
Yes. It affects the overall, that you cannot not produce more fat cells, if that makes any sense to you.
Yes. Now, you have a background in nursing, correct?
Yeah. Don't let it get around.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Ex-nay that, people. Ex-nay that.
As I put it out there. Oh, I tell you.
But really, nursing, okay. I learned how to cry and beg God for mercy being a nurse. If that makes any sense. I was witness to things that no human eye should ever have to see.
I believe it.
I'm sure.
I've worked
and
in hospitals before.
I had to stand and take that lick, you know, because there was nobody there. See, that's what a lot of people don't understand. I went out on the missionary field. I was a medical missionary.
Oh.
Yeah. That's how I ended up going to Jamaica. And not only was I a medical missionary, I was a medical missionary at end-stage HIV.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I mean, oh, wow. I
Oh, yeah, I, painful,
yeah.
Torture.
Yes.
Blame me with the grip, why don't you, and cut the skin off my nose.
Yeah.
Yes.
I worked with HIV patients when HIV first came out, and nobody understood it, and it was,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the suffering.
Well, this situation took it to the nth degree. This one girl, she got it the first time she had sex on her 18th birthday. The love of my life. I would have did anything for him. He was 2 years old, full blown. And the sister of my angelic mother, the minute I looked at her, I knew her. And she taught me how to be compassionate, even in the midst of failure, and let it go. So it's been a different journey.
I bet it has. I bet it has.
Yeah, but isn't it interesting
yeah.
that your journey took you there and what you got out of it and where you evolved?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was, you know, a lot of people see these or read these stories about the phoenix and the ashes and the burning off and the changing and utter transformation from one being to another being. I can say that's true for me. I can literally see that I was totally destroyed and rebirthed into a different kind of human being, totally, completely different human being.
Well, wonderful.
Yes, I am grateful that it happened to me.
And we're grateful that you're here doing the work that you're doing.
Excuse me?
I said, and we're grateful that you're here doing the work that you're doing.
Oh, yeah. So how long have you been doing what you've been doing?
The Divine Goddess Radio?
Yes.
A little over a year?
Well, it's a year and a half now.
Oh, year and a half.
Wow, nice.
But I've been doing what I've been doing my whole life, and Marie's been doing her stuff her whole life.
Wow. Did I say thank you? Thank you, thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, you're welcome.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming on, because I think it's, you know, I think it's important, because I know that, you know, people don't really, they, you know, I know we have the, everybody's into the gluten-free and they want to change their diet. But I
mm-hmm.
think, I don't think people realize really what the dangers of the corn syrup is, because it is in everything. I mean, you really have to look at the labels very carefully, and I think people would be amazed if they actually started looking. Oh, my gosh, you know, 3/4 of my kitchen has this stuff in it.
Yeah, and it's so insidious. Because you can't not do it, because now you're addicted to it, and you have to know that there's some addiction going on while you keep buying the same foods every week.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you just made me more aware, so now I'll be actually double-checking and checking to see, you know, what is it that I like to eat, and does it have that in there, and is it something that I crave, you know, although I'm a salty person. I'm a salty craver, though.
It's one more reason for me to go completely raw. One more
what
reason.
What did you say? Salt and sugar.
I said it's one more reason for me to go completely raw, as my body has been saying to me.
Okay, yeah.
And I used to eat raw, and my body loved it, but I have to make sure that I get the right proteins and the iron and everything. But my womb salutes you. She's been standing up and giving you kudos, going, thank God somebody's finally telling Beth about this. So my womb definitely thanks you.
You're welcome. You know, one of the hardest things about going raw, I love to cook.
Oh, do you?
That's the hardest thing.
Yeah.
See, that's not mine. I wouldn't miss that at all. I don't cook, so.
I would get bored with the raw. It's like, really? Raw again?
Yeah, well, I'm very versatile, so I can do a lot of different things. So I cook differently because I'm a complete vegan.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Nice, nice, nice.
So I have a question for you in regards to menopause and cortisol production. Because it seems with menopause, you seem to get this, all of a sudden, this mass of belly fat that pops out of nowhere, and it's so hard to get rid of.
Well, see, what happened to you when you went into your menopause, you didn't change your diet, you didn't do any womb care.
Okay.
You didn't detox. You didn't make any sacred space in your house.
Oh.
In the house, H-O-U-S, that we live in, not physically live in, but in our physical body, but in the house that we live in.
Your house that you live in, because there should be a womb space, a woman space, that's just your space in that house to identify that there's a woman there.
Okay.
And all your goddesses should be there. Your womb space should be there, you know, with your beautiful cloth representing your womb and your beautiful candles. And you go in and you celebrate your womb and you make a decision to listen to what's going on in your body and do the healing work that's required.
Oh, I'm going to try that. I actually have a ledge in my family room that has three women from three different women figurines. So I'm going to put a candle in there and actually try that.
Well, see, you have to be really intentional. I don't know what your spiritual background is, what goddess you follow, but try to bring her energy into that space. You know, if it's Celtic, if it's any of the Eastern European goddesses,
you can use more than one, correct? Can you have more than one?
Yes.
There's
many
that I work with.
You're trying to bring into the space. Like you can use some of the Japanese and Chinese goddesses, some of the Indian goddesses.
Little altar has Indian goddesses on it, and then this altar is all Mexican. These women are Mexican, so.
Of Kuan Yin, the goddess of compassion.
Yes, exactly. So then you have to have, your crystals or your stones that represent those entities, those goddesses. Then you have to have the essential oil that represent those goddesses. And then you have to have the right candle, the candle scent, the candle light, to match those goddesses, what they manifest. So when you go in to be with those particular energies, the one that needs you to listen will give you the biggest pull because you will have everything there for you, for the energy be to set for you to come forward.
Wow. Okay. Wow. You know, I'm getting a ding, 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 ding because when I go to the temple, the last couple times I've gone to the Indian temple, I've been drawn to two of the incarnation of goddesses who are not the main one, but they're the spouse of the male incarnation of Vishnu. And so I've been drawn to them. I mean, they're just speaking to me. And now that what you're saying is making a lot of sense, because I was wondering why, but now I know it has to do with the womb. Yep.
Yes. And they're very specific.
Yes. Go ahead.
I said the goddesses are very specific. They'll tell you what they want you to know and how they want you to go about doing. Because they're real big on joy. They want you to be joyful and open so you can be fertile. And see, we forget that our whole trip is for us to be fertile, and that's in our creativity. And we never manifest what we want. We always seem to know how to manifest what we don't want. So,
amen.
So, my God, you were the
creative
to my
puzzle. I'm creative.
You were
I'm very creative. See that mess over there? It's mine. I created it.
That's right. You are absolutely fabulous.
No, you're fabulous. You know,
is there anything else you want to talk about on the corn syrup that anybody that you think people should know?
Yeah, the main thing of it is that they're trying to sneak it in. They just changed the name. The law just went through that they want to change the name, that they don't have to make it high fructose corn syrup on the labeling. It could be some of the word that does that implies sugar. There's like 52 words out there that imply sugar right now.
Oh, because they just did that with aspartame. Didn't they change it to sucralose or something?
Yes, all of those, all that falls under the same umbrella as they did with the high fructose corn syrup.
Okay, okay. So, boy, we really have to watch the labels now.
See, and I'm going raw. I'm going raw, folks. I'm stating it out loud. I'm going raw. I won't have to mess with this. It will be El Natural.
Well, you know, one of the things that I love about the way I feel every day, I feel like I'm present and intact with me. My mind isn't wandering. It's rare for me to forget. I can order my thoughts very quickly and what gets done in priority, and that's the best way to live. I mean, to be present to who you are and what you need to do to live your life. You can't get any better than that.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Now, if people want to, you know, start weaning off these products, I'm assuming that they're going to go through some kind of withdrawal symptoms, correct?
Yes. They might feel really, like that's why I said the first thing that they would need to do is a total body detox.
Okay.
And it's really inexpensive. You just have to not eat any red meat or take any sugar products in. And it's a daytime. You can get them where they're made for daytime and nighttime formula, so you're not going to the bathroom every 5 minutes if you have to go to work. So there are products out there that really take good care of you, and it's really safe, and they're all herbs, and there's no chemicals.
Okay.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
So if somebody does go through withdrawal, like if they get the, I'm thinking headache would be a big one.
I usually tell individuals, if they do anything, the quickest way to get rid of the headache is have some passion flower water or either some valerian, have some essential oil with valerian or lavender.
Okay.
Kind of like smell that. But passion flower, to drink that, they can get some passion flower tea. That'll help them quite a bit. I love passion flower. It's one of my favorite go-to for keeping you calm.
Oh, okay. Okay. Because I know when I was pregnant, I had to go through my caffeine withdrawal, and it was like the headaches, you know, just the dull headaches. So
yeah,
I can't imagine with the sugar.
The passion flower with some red raspberry would have really soothed you out because you were really all over the place pregnant. You weren't too happy.
Wow.
Passion flower, red raspberry. Okay.
I'm just like off days going, wow, this is a lot of info, a lot of info. Man, I have to change my ways. Need to change my ways.
It isn't, and I tell people, it's not anything that you do. It's just that I'm in tune. And when you're in tune, you it's more than how people talk. It's what they're actually saying in their spirit. So it's a different listening. It's bigger.
Yep. Wow. Is there anything else that you need to talk about?
No, just have me back if you like me.
Oh, love you, girl.
Oh,
I
think people would love to hear more about the herbs.
I know I would.
You know, and the different combinations and what they can do, and maybe like if you know properties you can talk about, we'd love to do a show.
Oh, yeah. I can go through the magical, I can go through the spiritual, I can go
through
the
That would be fabulous.
Medicinal.
We could schedule you in July.
July's booked up.
I'm sorry. We could schedule you in August. I mean, I'm absolutely fascinated. I know that's the next part of my path is to learn about the herbs.
Yeah, if you don't like people, it's a good place to be. No, I'm just kidding. You spend a lot of time. If you can stand being alone and mucking around in the woods and stopping in the middle of the street looking down at weeds for people to think you've lost your mind.
Yeah, Beth can do that.
Oh, I can do that easily. I love people, but I have no problem with being on my own.
And just on your bike, be out on the lookout. I actually used to walk with my book in my backpack so I can identify stuff on the road. So it's really truly a labor of love. I never get tired of learning. Things come and I have to know what I'm talking to people about. So I'm always, I love secondhand bookstores. That's my best resource for herbal books. And
is there a favorite herbal book that you can recommend?
Let's see. Hold on a second. Let me go to my library. It's across from me. I'm like, I have a big chair.
Oh.
when you want to sit and read.
Going to a personal library. Look for an
Okay. The Encyclopedia of Magical Herbs would be one. Let me get to it and see who wrote it. Let's see. That was written by Cunningham, Scott Cunningham.
Okay.
Yeah, Encyclopedia of Magical Herbs. And the next one is, I love this book. This book is the bomb. I'm sorry. This book just does it for me. Are you ready?
Yes.
The Herbal Lore of Wise Women and Wart Cunners.
And wart?
I'm going to let you know what a wart cunner is. You figure that one out. And that was written by Wolf Sterl, Storl, and it's The Herbal Lore of Wise Women and Wart Cunners.
Okay.
And it's The Healing Power of Medicinal Plants.
Okay.
Yeah. I like that one a lot
out.
Too. Let me see.
While you're looking for the book, are there any other resources?
I found it. This is just for you, Beth.
Okay.
This should be in your library already.
Okay.
Angel Medicine by Doreen Virtue.
By God, I'm pretty sure I have that one.
You sure? You sure? All right.
I have so many books I have to look and see.
You should have that book. That should be in your library.
Okay.
And do you recommend any resources for the corn syrup if people wanted to research that?
The CDC, Center for Disease Control, has a whole mess on it.
Okay.
That they sure people don't read, so they're not worried about anybody going to look for it. The World Health Organization has a huge compilation of information on it.
Okay. Well, perfect. We're already out of time, believe it or not. That was a fantastic
here.
Show. Yes.
God, you were awesome. You were awesome.
Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us.
Thank you.
That went quick.
It did? Yeah, it goes quick.
I will catch you on Facebook.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so
much. Thank you for having me.
Yep, and we will catch everybody on Friday. Have a great evening.
Bye-bye. Peace and love to everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.